Welcome to the bar, come on and pull up a seat and open up your Bible, what a wonderful feast. The living bread, and we're discussing what it means for the streets, the inner cities and the burbs and every person we meet. This is where we challenge worldviews that we hear from world news. In light of the scripture, we are here to serve you. We're your source for resources to help you on your way as you battle mean forces. This is for the people who can see the importance of sound theology and the scripture that support it. And this is for the truth lovers, biblically reforming, preaching Christ to the nations. Yeah, welcome to the Modern Reformation, yeah.
The Bar, Biblical and Reformed.
Welcome everybody to The Bar. It's your boy Dwayne in the building. Right back in here another Tuesday. Super excited as always to be coming through your speakers, through your earbuds, wherever you listen to The Bar. We're grateful that you're listening. And I love to start the show off the same way by thanking the listeners. Thank you guys for listening to The Bar. This is 6 years in the making, man, and I'm just so grateful for anybody to listen, man. So big shout out to you guys for listening to the podcast, sharing the podcast, telling people about the podcast. I am truly grateful. And like I do every week, every Tuesday, I bring in awesome guests. This awesome guest is a three-peat, so I guess I haven't scared him off yet. I'll never forget when I actually first met him at G3. He was like, hey, I'm going to subscribe right now to the podcast. So, you know, early subscriber, he probably made two. Him and my mama was like the first two. And so we're super excited to have my dear brother, Dr. Steven. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. You were doing podcasts before podcasts were cool. Let's just, for the record.
I can agree to that. I can agree with that for sure, man. But again, I never forget, you know, our first interaction. It's always been super love. And anytime we see each other, even if it's quick, you know, especially at Ligonier, it's usually like, hey, yeah. How you doing?
We're on the move. Well, yeah. We love what you guys are doing and what you're up to. And it's great podcast, awesome. Great service to the church. So keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So for those that might not know who you are, just give a brief introduction, who you are and what you do and all of that good stuff. And we'll talk about what we came to talk about right after that.
Yeah. Well, I think what we're going to talk about has to do with what I do. So
that is very true.
I'm in Central Florida. I've got a wonderful privilege of serving for two great institutions. One is Ligonier Ministries, and I get to serve as a chief academic officer for Ligonier and a teaching fellow for Ligonier. And Ligonier is just 50 years old now, and actually into our 51st year. And we just want to produce discipleship materials for the church and come alongside the church and help folks in the church to know who God is and know God's word. So that's what we do at Ligonier. Also, I serve at Reformation Bible College, which was a college founded by R.C. Sproul, who founded both Ligonier and the college. And here we are in Central Florida with about 200 students on our campus. And we're just taking them into the depths of Reformed theology and the Word of God and training them like special forces. And then we're just going to unleash them out into the culture and into the church to serve God, to love God, and to glorify him and worship him in a life of service. So it's just great to be able to be part of these organizations, and so thankful for it.
Amen, brother. I love that so much. And my listeners are not, I guess, strangers to how much I, you know, love Ligonier and love what you guys are doing. You talk about what we're doing and how you guys have helped just me on a personal level when it comes to theology and even, you know, upholding God's word and also, you know, knowing who God is and, you know, and his holiness. So I'm going somewhere. You can tell.
I've heard that before from a certain person.
Yeah,
this holiness, man. Of God theme.
Yeah, man. One of the first books that I read, man, you know, going into just understanding Reformed theology was highly recommended. It was a big three. Let me tell you the big three before we get into it.
Okay. So
it was holiness of God, desiring God, and knowing God.
I'm sensing a theme.
right. That's been the big three, man. So and man, listen, I received this this book, man, and I was excited about it. And I'm super grateful that we're able to kind of talk about it a little bit. What is this book I'm talking about, Stephen? Because we on video, you can see when I hold it up, but my listeners can't see. What is this book that I'm super excited about?
I'm pretty excited about this book too. So it's a biography of RC. So we call it RC Sproul, A Life. And I've been started working on it in the what turned out to be the final years of RC's life. And we'd sit down sometimes in his home and just review, dip back into his past and review some of those things and events that shaped him and those formative years of his. But yeah, it's a biography of RC, and it was a joy to write, as you can imagine.
I could imagine. I can tell it. Even in the reading of it, I can just like I'm almost envious of you being able to have these conversations. Like, like, man, how does Stephen get all this access, man? It's amazing. But no, I mean, just going back to the beginning, man, the picture that was painted, you know, of his childhood, like I can see, you know, little RC running the streets. What did they call him?
Sonny. His nickname, Sonny.
I can Sonny see Sproul. I could see Sonny like running the streets and, you know, and you know, the steel mill. I could, it was beautiful, man. So let's start there, man. When you're talking to him about that experience in childhood, cause you know, we all have our own experiences. What was some of your big takeaways and how did that influence, you know, you to paint a picture so vivid?
Yeah. Well, you know, to sort of back up a little bit, those who know RC know him through the books, Holiness of God, Chosen by God, or they know him through the Renewing Your Mind, whether it was on terrestrial radio or now digitally or through whatever means, or they know him as a conference speaker, platform speaker.
And, or for me, YouTube. Yeah. YouTube is where I'm scared.
YouTube clips, which is now how most people are coming into this. And, you know, you see him up there. He's got no notes.
Nope.
He moves from Aristotle to Paul, to some Latin expression. And all the while, he makes it not only crystal clear, he is just absolutely compelling. You are brought into this. Like, he is a contagious speaker. And what I thought was, he sort of is a little deceptive because he doesn't, you don't see all of the work that went into the foundation. Right, you just see this surface. And you see the result of all that. So what I was really interested in the book was not just the platform RC that a lot of folks knew, but really wanted to go back in and look at those formative decades leading up to founding Ligonier, really, up to 71, of all that fed into who RC was. So a couple of things from his childhood. First, his father goes off to war. He's beyond the age for being drafted, but he was the head of the draft board. And so he's sending all these young men off to fight. And so he says, I can't do this in good conscience and not go. So he goes off to, so these are RC's early years. His father's in Italy and serving in the United States Army in World War II. Sports are a big part of RC's life. And you see that. You see that game day athlete. And you see that game face when he's up there. And he was the kind of athlete that would leave it all on the field. He'd never brought anything back to the locker room with him. And so sports were a formative part. And then, of course, there's the love of his life, Vesta. And so, I mean, these weren't high school sweethearts. These were elementary school sweethearts. Right. So they met. She was 1 year older than he. And so they meet when he's in the first grade. She's in the second grade. And if you talk to RC, he would say it was on again, off again, mostly on again relationship. He talked to Vesta. She's like, I don't even remember him. And he says the first time they met in this encounter, they were both running around the elementary school in opposite directions and sort of ran into each other, right? And he said the moment he met her, he knew he was going to marry her. And said, I don't even remember this. I think he's making it all up. But anyway, they are sweethearts in high school. Although he lost out to one of his friends because he had a car before RC had a car. So she went with him, but then RC got the car and then she started going with him. But then it got pretty serious. I know, it's a great story. And then, of course, they get married actually before he graduates from college. But the other interesting thing about RC is he grew up in a church, but the gospel wasn't preached.
Mm-hmm.
He could walk to it. It was just half a block away from his house. It was a Presbyterian church, but there was no gospel in there. He goes to college, an unconverted young man. Great writer and some skill as a writer that some of his teachers saw and fostered. And as I say, a great athlete, went to college on an athletic scholarship, but unconverted as a freshman in college.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And you know, speaking of the college years, you know, the transition that happened there. And like you talked about, the kind of the foundation of the hard work that you know, was to follow. And then even because I apologize if I missed some of the detail, because like I read it when I first got it, but you know, it's all good. But even, you know, going into the graduate stage and
yes,
and pursuing, you know, further education.
Absolutely.
You know, right. All of those things, you know, are in the book, and it's beautiful the way that it's laid out. Just kind of walk through that section.
Absolutely. Yeah. So once he gets to college, first it's his conversion that we got to deal with.
Yep.
And so he's going to head over to Youngstown, Ohio, because the bars over there don't check IDs. But before he goes, this is when cigarette machines were in the dorm lobby, right? So he plops the quarter in to get his lucky strikes. And he sees two guys from the football team sitting together over a book. And they motion for him to come over. And of course, he's going to go over because one of them is like the captain of the co-captain of the team. And they're doing a Bible study. And RC had never seen this. Like, he never saw people studying a Bible. And the verse was Ecclesiastes 11:3. No one ever came to Christ through this verse, right?
Right.
It's like, if a tree falls in the woods, whether it falls to the north or to the south, there it will lie. Or wherever it falls, there it lies.
Mm-hmm.
And God used that to convict RC to see himself as this dead, rotten tree, fallen in dead in his sins and can't do anything about it. And he pleads to God for mercy in Christ and is converted. Amazing. Then he has his second conversion experience in college, which is this midnight walk to the college chapel, where he is overwhelmed with a sense of the holiness of God.
Yep.
And there's another thing, you know, as soon as he becomes a Christian, he starts reading the Bible, like all the way through. And he said that from that very first time I read the Bible, I came to this realization, this is a God who plays for keeps.
Mm.
And so I think you begin to see a lot of those foundational planks that are going to become the themes and the hallmarks of RC's ministry. He goes on to seminary, which is a liberal seminary. And so he doesn't have, he knows liberalism from the inside out. Like he is very aware of liberal theology. I think that makes him a great conservative theologian. And then he goes to Amsterdam to study for doctoral work. And meanwhile, he's going deeper and deeper in the theological work, but he's also getting significant exposure to what was called Vatican II and the big Vatican II council that was happening about this time. And so he's got a front row seat of that because one of his professors at Amsterdam was invited to Vatican II as a representative of the Dutch Reformed Church. And so he brings all this into the classes that RC's taking. So, you know, those folks, many folks have come to Christ who were in a Roman Catholic church and through listening to RC come to Christ. And those also that have noticed in RC's work how helpful he is to help people understand what the differences are between Catholicism and Protestantism and being Reformed. Well, all that's coming from these foundational years.
Right.
And, I mean, RC was an ardent student, and God poured all that into his life and into those foundational years that, you know, here we are later. And we get to see the fruit of all this and enjoy the fruit of all this in the conference talks and in the books.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And it, like you said, it's amazing how God just uses things and they all, you know, lead up to, you know, just this, this work that only he can get glory from, you know, because none of this stuff was like intentional. Like he didn't decide to go there at the same time his professor was dealing with that and having that insight.
Exactly.
You know, that's the beautiful thing about it. And that's one of the many things that I love. I didn't come from the Catholic background, but I, you know, I was on more of the conspiracy theory side. I didn't like it. I just didn't know why. And then he gave me a biblical basis, like, okay, this is why you shouldn't do, you know. So, no, that's beautiful, man. And then, you know, fast forward to, you know, the start of a ministry that has literally changed the world in so many different ways. You know, I think about, you know, so many quote unquote movements or so many ministries that you know come and go. I love to see the old videos, you know, the really old videos when, you know, I love to see him with the pet,
the hair.
The hair, the shade.
The aviator sunglasses.
Yeah, the sunglasses. Like, I'm like, this dude got style. Like, he would be hip right now, like, in those videos, man. So, let's talk about that kind of time frame and that era of, you know, the genesis of, because I remember, this is a part of the book I do remember really good, was someone giving him, or pretty much, you know, saying he could use the space, which I was like, that's just amazing. But
yeah,
going into that a little bit.
He went to Saranac Lake up in upstate New York to speak at a conference for Young Life youth workers. And this is like summer of 1970. And he did a series on the holiness of God. A five-part series on the holiness of God. And one of the attendees was a donor who was a significant donor. Her husband was a billionaire, so a significant donor to Young Life. She was so impressed with R.C. One evening after his talk, they're sitting there, and she said to him, if you could do anything in the world, what would it be? And he said, well, I have a desire to open a study center. She goes, buys a farm, 52-acre farm, not too far from her property, about an hour outside of Pittsburgh in what was called the Ligonier Valley. And she says, here's your study center. So in the summer of 1971, RC Investor in Cincinnati at the time, serving in a church, she builds the house for them, mails him the keys, and says, come on out. And so he moves out in the summer and starts the Ligonier Valley Study Center. And years later, he articulated this, but someone said, what are you trying to do here? And he said, well, we're teaching theology. Well, if you could only teach one part of theology, what would it be? He goes, oh, that's easy, doctrine of God. Mm-hmm. Well, if you could only say one thing about God, what would you say? And he said, that's easy too, the holiness of God. And he said, you know, whether you're in culture or you're in the church, here's the issue. We need to know who God is. Mm-hmm. And so that was the foundation of Ligonier Ministries, literally right from day one, summer of 1971. And God just blessed Ligonier. They brought to him in 1974, they brought to him the expertise of a gentleman from the Cincinnati region who was a pioneer in using video cassette for teaching resources. Amazing. So this is, I mean, the 70s, nobody had VCRs in their home. This is like total cutting edge stuff.
Right.
So, you know, RC was doing audio cassette tapes from the beginning, but in 74, they start doing these video cassette teaching series. And now these get shipped out all over the country. Fast forward 1984, Ligonier realizes that the ministry is far more than that 52-acre farm in the Ligonier Valley. And so they make the move to Orlando and Central Florida and been here ever since. And the ministry really became at that point much more of a national and now international reach. And just to put a little fine point to this, we are active in about 9 languages of translation work. And by active, I mean daily new content material is going up on these language websites.
Wow.
And our goal is to be active in the top 20 languages of the world which will cover most of the globe, actually, by 2025. So Ligonier, God just continued to bless Ligonier. And here's the thing, RC Invest had never set out to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ask them, they never set out to have an international ministry that reaches 25 million people every year. They just had, they never set out to do that. They just wanted to teach. And what they were recognizing, this is a time of intense liberalism in the church. Mm-hmm. We know this. I mean, the 70s was sexual revolution. We talk about the cultural turmoil we have right now. Right. We'll go back to 68, 72. And Democratic Convention. And I mean, you know, you have, everything was there.
Mm-hmm.
And RC said, fundamentally, the problems here are theological, which means the solutions are theological. And that's what we need to do. And it, he wasn't after scholars. He was after laity to help people in the pew know who God is and know their theology. So all you can say is what a fun ride it has been over the last 50 years. And
for sure.
Ministry.
For sure. For sure. No, that's amazing. You know, I think about the video aspect being, like I said, I discovered on YouTube. And you know, watching those videos and then with the app, you know, just cutting edge, like you said, you know, God sending that guy back then.
Exactly.
And continually, you know, to produce good quality content, and it continues, you know, and that's what I want to kind of talk about before we hit our break is, you know, the continuing of the vision and of the goal. I remember, you know, everybody know, I talked to, you know, to Chris, you know, Chris Larson, and I talked to quite a few people there, and everybody's pretty much saying the same thing as far as like, you know, we're going to do this to the best of our ability as long as we can, you know,
sure.
And if something changed, it's not like they're trying to like carry around this weight. They're like, we're going to do it till God says it's enough, you know?
Yeah.
And that's been the attitude of everybody I spoke to. So let's talk about Ligonier now, the legacy, and you know, where we see it going, or pray that it goes to.
A huge piece of it is the college. So RC, this is back in the 08, 09, recognizes that one of the things the reformers did, and he loved the reformers, of course, was not only teach the church, but they also all were involved in theological education and even what you would consider theological undergraduate education. Mm-hmm. Calvin founded a college on June 5th, 1559 in Geneva.
Wow.
Today, it's the University of Geneva. But back then, he called it the Academy. It was a college. And it was to train students in theology and also what we call pre-law and pre-med. But theology was at the center of the curriculum. So RC was inspired by this to recognize that this is really incumbent on him to see that he can, as a reformer, right, to put this emphasis on training the next generation in theological undergraduate education. So 2011, he founded Reformation Bible College. And, you know, we're sort of about putting out little RCs. We recognize that he was a uniquely gifted man. In
right.
a uniquely gifted set of skills. We recognize not everybody is that and can do that, but we can be little RCs. And, you know, by that we mean knowing the truth, being defending the truth, and being able to contend for the truth. And then here's the genius of RC, and being a great communicator.
Yep. Yep.
And that was always the beauty of RC. And so that's the goal of the college. So one of the legacy as we look to the next generation is, well, again, let's train up this group. And not in terms of regular army, like Ligonier does regular army. We do special forces. We do that intense, you know, we have an intentionally small campus. We don't want to grow more than 200 on campus. We're about the intimate discipleship and education of the campus. But you begin to think of the flywheel effect of these students and lifetime of impact in the lives they impact. It just is exciting.
It is.
So the college is definitely part of legacy. The other part of the legacy is to just continue to leverage those technologies that come our way so that we have this teaching that we are a good steward of. And we've got RC's teaching, which so much of it is timeless. The hairstyles are not. hairstyles and the clothing are not timeless.
You give it time, it'll come back around. You know,
it'll come back. The turtleneck sweater and the plaid pants and the aviator sunglasses—they're back.
We'll be back. Yep.
But the teaching is timeless.
Yes.
And so we got RC's content, but we're constantly adding new content to it. We have the current teaching fellows. We have the conferences. So we want to produce this content, but what we also want to do is be strategic and leverage the technology to get the content out. Mm-hmm. And then we're also just thinking of the different ways we can get the content out in areas where the internet is monitored or the internet is closed access. So our brothers and sisters in Christ around the globe. So, you know, we put stuff on SD chips and send it to them. We're even trying to figure out ways to send it directly to their phone that can't be monitored. We're just really thinking about not only ways to get it out there in a sort of stewardship of resources way, but also ways to get it out there given some of the circumstances that we find in countries like China and mm-hmm. and some of the closed Islamic countries. So it's very exciting, the global outreach. That doesn't mean we've shifted focus off the United States either. We still have our regional conferences, our national conference. And then another initiative that's very exciting that we're kicking around is the reaching down into the student generation, the 12 to 18 population even. So we're doing that with the Student Study Bible that just came out. So we have the Reformation Study Bible. We just produced the student edition.
I got it right here somewhere.
You got one? All right. You got a prop. And then we're doing these Always Ready youth conferences, which are apologetics conferences.
Yes.
And they're also out on our YouTube channel, but we're taking these around the country. We'll be down in Miami in April. We've been to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Columbia, South Carolina, Memphis, Tennessee. We're headed out to LA in the fall, Grand Rapids in the fall. But these are conferences for 12 to 18 year olds. We know they're getting tough questions. They're getting tougher questions. They're getting questions I never had when I was exactly. their age. And we want them to know that there are answers and they don't have to run from these hard questions. They can run into them equipped with the Word of God to, again, know the truth and defend the faith. So anyway, Ligonier is moving forward on all kinds of fronts and it's very exciting. If you want to keep up, just go to ligonier.org and you can see all the stuff we're trying to do.
I love it. I love it. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All of that is exciting. You know, when you talk about the technology piece, I have to shout out my man, Tyler.
Tyler Kenny.
Yeah, man.
He's a dear guy. He's a good man.
Yeah, he's always on top of it, man. So I had to make sure I shout him out. But so right here, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Rayner, host of the Pregame Proverb, a daily devotional each morning that goes through Solomon's writings. And right now, we're working through a verse-by-verse exposition of Ecclesiastes. If you'd like to sign up for these two-minute brief devotionals, hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or wherever you stream your podcasts from. The Pregame Proverb, a biblical way to start the day. Proud partners of The Bar, the Biblical and Reformed Podcast Network.
All right, we're back in here with my brother Steven. And listen, this is going to be different. I have signature questions, but I am actually going to ask you to put your RC hat on, man. How you think he would answer these questions? Because I...
Oh, no.
Yeah. Put a little pressure on you. So when I got into podcasting, I literally messaged Nathan and Deborah every week asking to get Dr. Sproul on my podcast. But it was, you know, during a time where, you know, you guys were really protecting the schedule and, you know, with good reason. I read in the book, you know, everything that had happened up to. And so gave us some perspective. So I never got a chance to have Dr. Sproul on the show. It's like my great white. I know he's a, you know, Moby Dick fan and all of that. So
the white whale. He's out there.
Man. Yeah, man. I never got that opportunity. So I'm gonna ask you these three signature bar questions, and to the best of your ability, how you think Dr. Sproul would answer. So the first signature bar question is, what kind of music do you listen to?
Oldies but goodies.
Mm.
40s on 4, 50s on 5.
I love it.
where would I'm RC, right?
Right, right.
At Marseille, where would I be without 50s on five? And, you know, Vesta and RC were quite the ballroom dancers.
Ah.
So if the right tune came on, he's going to hop up out of that chair, grab Vesta, and the floor is going to become theirs.
Nice. I love it.
And of course, classical. Mm-hmm. And of course, sacred music. Right. So you got to remember, RC wrote some hymns at the end of his life. Mm-hmm. So that would round out the music. I would imagine pop music just wouldn't quite cut it for him.
I think you're pretty accurate with that assumption. All right. So next signature bar question is, I'm going to say, what is your favorite book?
Oh, so
what books are you currently reading? What?
Got it.
What is your favorite?
Well, I can answer both.
Okay, go ahead.
So first, next to the Bible, of course, mm-hmm. its favorite novels would be Moby Dick, mm-hmm. with a close second being The Count of Monte Cristo.
Mm.
Favorite theological or favorite biography would be everything Steve Nichols has ever written. Joke.
I love it.
With a close second being Here I Stand, uh-huh. Roland Baton's Life of Martin Luther. Best book of sermons would be Calvin on Ephesians and Galatians. And best theologian would be anything by Jonathan Edwards, with a second close being anything by John Calvin.
Nice.
As far as what you're reading, what he's reading currently, this was always the thing. You go to his house, and as soon as you walk in the door, it's quiz time. Mm-hmm. It's not theological quiz. I walk in and one time and he says, what colony had the most deaths in the Revolutionary War? Well, you're going to Massachusetts. No. Pennsylvania. No. Can I combine all New England? No. Virginia? No. New Jersey? No. South Carolina had the most deaths in the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
Because he was reading the biography of the Swamp Fox at the time, wow. You know, the guy who was the inspiration behind Mel Gibson's Patriot movie.
Yep.
Like a real... So anyway, who knows what he's reading at any given time? I never would have guessed a biography of the Swamp Fox.
Right.
I think preceding that was a biography of Frank Sinatra, which takes us back to the question number one about music.
Right. Oh, Blue Eyes. I love it. I love
it. Oh, Blue Eyes.
All right. So last signature bar question would be, what podcasts would you listen to or sermons?
You have to ask. It goes by the initials BAR would be the podcast he would listen to. No doubt.
I love it. I love it, man. Listen, Steve, this was so much fun, brother. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, it was fun. Yes, sir. You know what's great is we have such a common bond in these things. And that is the beautiful thing, Dwayne. So grateful for you. And grateful for your work.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for sure. Thank you again to the bar listeners for listening to the show. Make sure you guys hit the show notes. We will have a link to the book. Make sure you pick it up, and we will be super excited. You will definitely enjoy it. Thanks again to my brother, Steve, coming on the show. Make sure you go to thebarpodcast.com. Check out your favorite podcast every Tuesday. Pick up some bar gear. Go to thebargear.com. And until next time, you guys, God bless, and we are out.